remain standing for a moment longer as we read this morning's gospel lesson. We'll be reading from the gospel according to John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We thought that perhaps you would enjoy another opportunity of Ricky and I kind of pondering on this scripture, this gospel text, and to hear a couple of points of views and things, and to just see the kinds of things that come when two people are pondering the same kinds of text. I want to talk a little bit about, I was the one who named the topic, the scripture, the sermon today, that is, not the scripture, but the sermon title. And I wanted to talk about how tradition is sometimes held on to, I think, it by some of us, with this notion that tradition at all costs. And so those things that define tradition for us can sometimes be liberating. I think that's why in the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, tradition plays a significant part in our understanding of who God is as revealed in Jesus Christ. But I also think at the same time, tradition can be a stumbling block for us. Tradition can keep us from maybe understanding what God might be saying to us today. For instance, in this text that I just read to you, Ricky, you may agree with this, John is remembering these teachings of Jesus in the sense of dealing with a group of people who have been shaped by their Jewishness, their Jewish past. And of course, in the Jewish tradition, God is the anchoring point of all of their life, and you're probably saying yes, and for us the same way. But it is also this traditional symbol of the vine, I think, that the people would have recognized, being an agrarian society, very focused on agriculture. Jesus wisely chooses a metaphor that they can understand and hang their hats on, can grow deeper in. But I think Jesus is beginning to redefine the traditional symbol of the vine. Because the Jews saw themselves as the vine. Israel, in their estimation, is the vine. And so Jesus comes in with a new teaching and redefining for them in their context what it means to understand who the real vine is. And so there's a couple of things that I think are important here. Jesus is reestablishing himself first in his relationship to God. He uses the name I am. And of course, the I am not only brings self-identity, Jesus as being God, but also his relationship to God as the vine. He tells them that I am the vine, and he mentions that the Father is the gardener, and he redefines who the people are. They are the branches. They are not the vine. In other words, it is not the Jews who bring this life into the world through their obedience and devotion. And so, in a way, I like that, because even today, Ricky, in our context, as we live out what it means to be people of faith, again, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes it's the traditional things that we cling to And sometimes that can be a really good thing. I mean, after all, we're a traditional church. We hold to traditional values. Most of our worship experience is a traditional kind of a worship experience. Look at today, you know, powerful hymn singing. We've got a lot of music going on. And then we see ourselves kind of in a traditional response, if you will. But over time, as Wesleyans, as Methodists, I think some of those traditions have somehow got in our way. I think the last 60, 80 years, especially, at least in the United Methodist Church, the tradition has kind of shaped us to kind of focusing on ourselves. We take care of our branches. We take care of our personal kinds of relationships, and we don't so much get involved with the other branches of the world, the other people of the world. And Jesus was quite clear, I think, Ricky, when he said, you know, if you're going to be my disciples, you need to bear much fruit. And I think that kind of opens up the door for us to have a little bit of a discussion today. What does that look like to be fruit, to be branches who bear fruit? So I'm going to let you take make an observation or two here.
Yeah. And I think I've been thinking a lot about tradition, especially in a church like Decatur that's got 150 plus years. You don't make it 150 years as a church congregation in a community without having to constantly redefine the traditions that you're built on, right? The tradition that the circuit rider, when he came through here 150 years ago and first began gathering people on the very edges of the Western frontier, those traditions continually get redefined over and over again, but they also become the really stable foundation that we can build upon a lot of times. So you see Jesus here taking the tradition of understanding Israel as this beautiful imagery of the vine and the branches and sort of redefining it and taking a new take on it. But that's his foundation. I think a lot about the work that I've been tasked with coming here to First Methodist and planning this new faith community that's anchored very deeply in the heart of First Methodist Decatur is only possible because of the great traditions, the great faithfulness of this community over the past 150 years. But again, it's a time in our life that's sort of redefining what does it look like to look outside of our branches?
Yeah.
I shared, several months ago, the first time we ever did this back in September, October, the demographic research that I did that in Wise County in the 2010 census, nearly 60% of the population checks on their census no religious affiliation. It's like 35,000 people right here in our backyard who are also branches that God wants to graft onto the vine of God's love. We've taken the name Pecan Street Mission for this new thing that we're doing, this new faith community, partly because this is Pecan Street right here that we closed off with the city that's between the sanctuary and the MAC. But also, picture like a pecan tree, which is very unique to this area of Texas. But a pecan tree has two types of root systems. I've been learning a little bit about this. It has one very significant sized tap root that goes straight from the trunk right down into the ground. And it's the deepest root that it has. It's the largest root, and it's the root that allows it, because it goes so deep, to overcome both the temporary winters that come around every year and the lifetime seasons of drought that come around every 40 years, right? So it gives us this longevity because it is anchored very deeply, rooted very deeply into the ground where it can get all those nutrients. And it also has the second set of shallower tap roots that in the summers and in the springtime and when the rains are coming help it gather nutrients from the topsoil around it. But also when pecan trees grow in groves, it's what helps connect them to each other. And so we've taken this imagery of rootedness. So I've been coining the phrase, the slogan, the little like tagline, love deeply, live differently.
Right.
That it's only having our taproot deeply anchored in the love of God, deeply connected to the vine, deeply, deeply, deeply connected to Jesus, that our love goes so deep that our lives begin to look different.
Right.
And this rootedness, I think, is the life of faith. It's all about being rooted.
Right. And I think what John is wanting to recapture from Jesus' teaching to the disciples. In verse 3, he says, you have already been cleansed. And when we hear that cleansing, I think the way that Greek word could have been translated is pruned. So in other words, you've already been pruned by the word. In other words, When Jesus came into the world, he didn't bring the New Testament with him. He began to establish the teachings that would become the New Testament. But he is the Word made flesh. And so his teachings, his way of living, his understanding, his direction, his commandments that he's given them, these are the things that cleanse and or purge these branches. And so he says, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. And he invites the disciples, his followers, to begin this abiding of life in Jesus. And I think this is where sometimes tradition can point to the opposite, not opposite necessarily, but to a different direction. Just like the Jews were clinging to this notion that they were the vine, sometimes you and I have to be reminded that it is Jesus' ways, it is Jesus' teachings, it's Jesus' commandments, and not ourselves. And I'm so often reminded of this when I hear good, faithful people, good Christian people, people who I know believe that Jesus is, in fact, the Savior of the world, and yet that they'll make statements that sometimes contradict that belief. And I think sometimes it's because we don't think about our faith deep enough. Oftentimes this is couched in what it means to be patriotic, or what it means to define us as an American citizen before we define ourselves as followers of Christ. And I think we get that backwards. And so to be reminded of our need to abide in Christ is so important for Jesus, who says Christians will bear that fruit. And so sometimes I think, you know, our fierce loyalty to our ancestors as Americans, our fierce feelings of independence that nobody ought to tell me what I need to think or believe, sometimes comes into this friction or this tension we have with our faith. And so if we don't stay grounded, if we don't stay a part of the vine, then sometimes I think our branches, the branches that we live, the lives that we live, bear fruit of other things instead of Christ. And so I think I find power in that. Now, I mentioned early on a blessing I received the last few days. I've been riding, it feels like, all over Southwest Texas. I've been to Del Rio, to Big Bend, to Alpine, to Fort Davis, to Fredericksburg. And one thing I saw in common, not just the dust and dirt of West Texas, but was grapevines. And in Fredericksburg, especially since the last time Melissa and I were there, I think a couple of years ago, there have been so many wineries opened up. And so here's this prolific presence of vines growing everywhere next to these wineries that continually pop up. And I was reminded of a story that the writer Henry Mitchell told. He told about going on a visit once to California, to a region in California. He didn't say whether it was the Napa Valley or the Sonoma area, but he talked about this, and he was surprised that vine after vine, as he was on this tour, they'd all been pruned back. And he came thinking he was going to get to experience these beautiful vines rich with the grapes that would soon be wine. And he was very disappointed. He said there was occasionally a green straggler, you know. But there were these trunks of these vines that had been pruned back. And he asked the tour guide, and the tour guide says, look, he said, we don't harvest these grapes. We prune them for 3 years before they bear the fruit that we will use, the good fruit. So in other words, and he says, if you had come in a couple of months, these pruned back vines would have grapes the size almost of ping pong balls, he said, and the fruit would be delicious. And so we're intentional about this pruning back to get this good fruit. And so I think, Ricky, as I'm thinking about, you know, our lives as Christians, sometimes we think, well, my faith is being tested. Something's going on in my life. And I'm just struggling. I don't know whether I'm connected. And I think Jesus was pretty clear here when he says, you have already been pruned. You are being pruned. Pruning is healthy for our faith. And so as we have talked about in previous lessons and study groups and stuff, sometimes seemingly bad things happen to good people. And that is, we can use that. I'm not saying that God is doing those things to us, but as followers of Christ, where Jesus says, when you abide in me, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch. Such branches are gathered, thrown in the fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish. You see, I think it's this conditional kind of, it's this intimacy. If we're a part of this vine, if our lives are truly connected to this vine, then we know some things that we could ask for are pretty outrageous. Probably not good things to ask for. But it's in this intimacy, as we spend more time with our Savior, turning our lives over to Him, that maybe the right fruit, the pruning occurs, the mindsets, the heart change, the focus begins to be more in Christ and less in our lives around us. And so sometimes I want to ask ourselves, if we really abide, when John is speaking here, he is emphasizing, I think, Jesus is saying, look, you need to stay connected. This is not just for the people of God, in other words, the community, the church. This is also individual. So individual and community. If you can't stay connected to the vine, then your fruit won't be healthy. And it's that unhealthy fruit that's going to be discarded as those branches that wither are eliminated. And so that's a tough thing to say, but I think it's worth us all asking ourselves, you know, what does our life look like? Am I bearing fruit that is worthy of Jesus? I mean, as an individual, we ought to ask our church that. Is our church bearing fruit that is worthy of God, who sent Jesus into the world to be the vine? Is our life and our family bearing the fruit of God? Is our service to the church bearing fruit? I mean, what are we doing for the church that bears fruit? I mean, we ought to be willing to ask ourselves regularly this. I think that is part of this purging, cleansing process that Jesus is inviting the disciples to come into, the followers of Jesus. What are your thoughts on some of that, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's all about the fruit, right? Like, if my basil plant doesn't ever produce any basil leaves,
right,
it's kind of pointless. What good is that, right? Or if your grapevine never produces grapes that you can eat or make into wine to sell, or like, then what's the point of the grapevine, right? It's all about the fruit. And Jesus says so clearly, those who abide in me bear much fruit. But I think we have to remind ourselves, I think it's often a greater temptation for folks like us who are like doing ministry full time professionally to say, like, any fruit that happens, it's not really our fruit. It's really God's fruit. It's really Jesus' fruit. But it's always to be on the lookout for it. And so for us, like, Easter at sunrise was our first big thing that we hosted for Pecan Street Mission. We hosted a community Easter sunrise worship service downtown. And we were going to be over the moon if like 40 folks were out there. And there's a secret place in my heart where I was like, maybe there'll just be like four of us and it'll be a nice little morning and it'll be fine. It's cold. It's 7 o'clock on Easter. Everyone goes to their own churches and people had their traditions. You know, 130 plus people showed up downtown. And well over half or three quarters of the folks that showed up, I had legitimately no idea who they were. Where it's not like I saw them in church one time, or I met them at a chamber meeting, or I've seen their face at Walmart. Like, legitimately, no. And I've heard that from several folks in the congregation. I'm like, where have all these people come from? It's not us.
Yeah.
That's fruit of God.
Yeah.
Right? That's God working transformation in individuals' lives. That's God working transformation in a community's life for a mother to say, gosh, I've grown up in Decatur my whole life. And I've always wanted to take my girls to a sunrise service, but we've never had anything to come through. And this has just been so meaningful to see the whole community come together in a new way. Like that's God's fruit.
Right.
That's not ours. We just have the privilege of helping God produce that.
Right. Will Wilman, in his ministry, Will Wilman is now a retired bishop of the United Methodist Church. I believe he's dean at the chapel at Duke Divinity School in North Carolina. He tells a story about when he was early in ministry, he responded to a hospital call. He knew this family was expecting a baby, and he arrived just as the doctor came out to speak to the family after the baby was born and told the mother and father, you know, congratulations, you have a son, but. And you always hate to hear that but. And the doctor said, it appears that your son, there's a couple of issues. First off, it appears that your son is going to be a Down syndrome baby. The second problem is that there's a respiratory condition that could be corrected. But the doctor went on to say, but I know that you have a family that is robust with children, healthy children. I know your family is this way. And if you just want to do nothing over the next couple of days, I think nature will take care of this issue. And the mother was just what was the doctor getting at? You know, so the doctor's point was, let nature take its course, and the little newborn baby boy would not survive this respiratory illness without a procedure. And this startled mother and her husband said, you know, we don't know why this our newborn boy was born with Down syndrome or this problem, but and we also know that we've got this family that is filled with healthy children. And maybe for the sake of this little boy, maybe this pruning of the way our family has always lived, maybe for the sake of this little boy, it's the best thing that could ever happen. That my children, who have everything that they could desire, might grow to love this little special boy. And maybe this love that's in our home that has shaped these other kids will make the difference in this newborn boy's life. And so the doctor was really puzzled. And as he and Reverend Willman stepped out into the hallway, he said, Reverend, you need to help this family with some common sense. You need to help them with some reasoning here. And Will Willman says, I think he regretted not speaking to the doctor in more clear terms. He was thinking, though, doctor, you're the one that needs to have a dose of reason. They are in there testifying to the power of God in the face of the unknown, in the face of what the world might say, yes, let nature take its course and this little baby boy die. But this family, who was grounded in the love of Christ, chose to raise this special little boy as a special gift, knowing they were the right family for this gift. And so I think that's what it means to abide in the vine, and the vine abide in us. And so often our energies get sucked away. We get diverted by things that go on in the world. We get diverted by people who can sap our energies, people who can make comments or become divisive. And I don't know how all that works out in the end, but I do know that maybe this teaching that Jesus is giving the followers reminds us of our need to stay in the vine and not in the powers and discussions of the world, but to stay anchored in love, both as individuals and as a community of believers, to keep love as the focus of what we do and not be swayed by the whims, the desires, the powers of the world.
I think it's all about keeping our roots deeply, deeply rooted in the love of God and reminding ourselves constantly in all the little ways that we keep ourselves attached and connected to the vine, that it's only through that, like that vine is our lifeline,
yeah.
Right? That is our respirator that keeps us breathing and keeps us going, without which we can't live. The other reading for this morning was from 1 John, a chapter after what we read last week, that says, those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Like, it's only living in the love of God, deeply rooted in the love of God, that we are able to live our own lives in the world. And I think that deeply rooted in God's love and deeply intimately attached to the vine, God works transformational fruit far beyond what we could ever imagine,
right,
or dream for our own lives and through us.
Yeah. And so I've spoken a lot in the sense of individualized, but I know, and you brought, you mentioned the great rich history that our church has. And friends, you can't be a congregation, you can't be an organized group of faith people for 150 years and not have had these times throughout our church's history of having to redefine itself, of having to look at how we are being pruned, how are we being cleansed, how are we as a people being redefined, repurposed, if you will. It doesn't change our faith, it doesn't diminish our work in the world, but it kind of reminds us that contexts change. Just like as we grow in our own life, who would have imagined, if you're 50, 60, 70 today, would you have thought you'd be in this place back when you were 20 or when you were a teenager and thought you were bulletproof, indestructible? Who would have thought we would be here? And our forefathers had to think through these things and redefine, repurpose, refocus. And so it's this pruning, I think, of and so as tradition speaks to us and we form new traditions, we don't cast out the old traditions. We use them. We move forward with them as a part of the foundation, saying we are able to reach people, to share the good news, to bear fruit as a church, just as we bear fruit as individuals. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that this fruit gathers here regularly, and this fruit is willing to be pruned, to be cleansed by the Word of God. I'm thankful that we are willing to allow our hearts to be changed, willing to allow our future to be revisioned regularly, to say, are we in touch? Are we bearing fruit? Do our branches look healthy, or do we need to trim here or there? And to be gifted with leaders, not clergy leaders necessarily, but leaders who are willing to guide us also. So I'm thankful for us as a church that we're able to do that. So we offer this to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our time together, I don't think any better way than to come to the vine, to come to the table, to come and to be refreshed by the gifts that God has brought us today and the celebration of Holy Communion as we break bread and drink from the common cup together today. Our prayer of the Great Thanksgiving, which is our beginning point for the celebration of communion, is found on page number 13. If you would like to follow along there, the responses will also be projected above. But it is our tradition that we stand as we pray that great prayer together. So I invite you to stand.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. The very essence of your self-giving is love, and you call us to live in love because you first loved us. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You may be seated.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He taught us that when we abide in him, as he abides in you, that we will have life and bear much fruit. Many chose not to hear that word, but to do away with him. By the baptism of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, the Lord took the cup. Again, he returned thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." And yet, even death could not have victory over your love. You raised him from the dead and offer us life through him. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry into all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen.
Now, with the confidence of the children of God, we are bold to pray together those words that Jesus taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body in Christ, and this bread which we break truly is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks truly is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Amen. Those who are serving, please come forward. This morning, as every week, our communion offering left here on the rails always goes to help support our Sunshine Fund, which is the fund we use to help our neighbors here in Wise County who come through our doors during the week in need of assistance. The table is open. The feast has been prepared. Won't you come?
Resurrection.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Raise us to new life through this sacrament, and grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Friends, as our time in worship is drawing to a close this day, I want to let you know of some opportunities. Decatur Cares Mobile Food Pantry, the first Saturday of every month. We'll be meeting at 8:30 over at the Decatur IS. Actually, we meet earlier than that, 7:45. We begin distributing food to people who have food insecurities at 8:30. We've been having a tremendous church presence there. I think a lot of people are finding ways to give just a few hours on a Saturday morning to come out and to serve people who have such food insecurities and need those extra pieces of food. There's a sign-up sheet, I believe, out in the narthex out there across from the elevator. Senior breakfast will be upon us soon that Friday morning when we host all of Decatur High School's graduating class. I'm not sure where we stand on those.
I think we're good on casseroles.
We're good on casseroles, but I'm sure we're going to need some folks to help greet, to set up, to clean up, and to do those kinds of things. Another way for you to serve. Next Sunday, following the 10:50 worship experience, we're having a blessing of the bikes. If you ride a motorcycle or a trike, a motorized trike, that is, and you know somebody who might find a blessing, an opportunity, maybe they don't have a church home, and maybe it's through a motorcycle that they might feel a connection. Invite them to come to worship. We'll have a blessing of the bikes afterward out here on Pecan Street, and then we're going to take a ride for lunch. So if you know somebody that might enjoy that, ask them to come to church with you next week. Also, May the 19th, Ricky mentioned the sunblock, the sunscreen that we've been collecting, the bottled water, all of these things to help our neighbors here in Wise County have a fun and safe summer. For a couple of hours on that Saturday, we're going to be up here and we've got community partners coming, the police, the fire. We're expecting the helicopter to be here to spend time and have community partners bringing material on how to encourage people to have a fun and safe summer. So it's a great opportunity for the community to get to know us a little better. So that is a great thing going on. If you are looking for a church home, I want to let you know Ricky and I would be honored to be your pastors. If you'd like to connect with this church in membership, there is a card there in the pew pocket. You can just bring that as we've got some singing to do. Still got some more songs to come out of the little black hymnal. Just bring that card forward during the singing, and we would be honored to receive you into membership of this church. If you're a first-time guest, we have a little thank you that we'd like to give to you, just a simple way of saying thank you for being here today. We've got a guest connection point through these doors, and a member of our hospitality team will be out there, and we'll just give you that simple token of thanksgiving that you're here with us. Let us stand as we sing a couple of hymns, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," followed by "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me."
We'll sing verse 1 of each of those.
And as always, if you want to clap, you clap. If you want to shimmy shake, if you want to praise God, you do that.
What a wonderful change in my life has been born since Jesus came into my heart. This night in my soul, for which long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you.